there. So was Damien, a sweet black kid with a fro and glasses, who was the other half of my duet. "You need to warm up?" Mr. Seward asked me. As usual, he was wearing a tie, a dress shirt, and that big grin we all knew him for. He was seated at the piano. "I'm cool," I said. I stashed my backpack in a chair and quickly took my place near Damien. Mr. Stewart spread out his music sheets, rested his fingers on the keys, and played the ballad's opening notes. Damien's part was first. "In a place that won't let us feel," he sang softly. "In a life that nothing seems real, I have found you. I have found you." Next was my verse. "In a world that's moving too fast," I chimed in, a little off key. "In a world where nothing can last, I will hold you." Mr. Stewart stopped playing. "You sure you're okay, Diane?" he asked. I shrugged. "I'm fine, I guess," I told him, "just a little rusty." Crap. I'd been practicing this song in my bedroom mirror for days. I knew it up and down, but for some reason it wasn't coming out right. Probably nerves. "Let's try it again," Mr. Stewart said. I stood up tall and cleared my throat. The music began. As my part approached, I closed my eyes so I can concentrate. "In a world that's moving too fast," I sang. "In a world where nothing can last, I will hold you. I will hold you." I opened my eyelids long enough to see the teacher nod. Exhale. All year, I've been trying to figure out whether this music thing was for me, whether I could really make it as a singer. And thanks to Mr. Stewart, I was starting to believe I had a shot. He'd taken me under his wing and was helping me find my sound, my voice, my place. I couldn't wait for my family to come and hear me. On my way home, I stopped at Foot Locker. After my papi's lotto win, he'd proudly given me a crisp $50 bill. "Buy yourself something nice, sweetheart," he told me. "Anything you want." I decided to splurge on sneakers, this cute pair of classic Adidas shell toes. I'd had my eye on them for weeks. I thought I was Run DMC. They were fresh as hell. Yeah, I was living in a 90s dream. "Aren't these hot?" I said to my friend Martha, the shy girl from my neighborhood who happened to be in the store that day. She smiled, showing off a mouthful of braces. "You can wear them out the store if you want," the clerk said. "I'll wrap up your other pair." Moments later, I handed over my cash, stuffed my old tennis shoes in my bag, and headed off to the T, the orange line. That was at 5:30. At 6:15, the train pulled up into Stony Brook Station. I strolled across the platform the whole time, staring down at my Adidas. So dope. Outside, the sun was setting a bit. I knew my parents would be wondering what time I'd get home. I decided to stop and call. I spotted a payphone. Yes, payphones were still a thing. And I walked toward it. I removed a quarter from my back pocket of my jeans, pushed in the coin, and I dialed. Ring. 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 "You've reached Maria, Hector, and Diane," said my mother's voice on the machine. "We're not here right now. Please leave us a message." Beep! One of my parents was always home by this time, always. And neither of them had mentioned having plans. Where could they be? With my hands trembling, I searched my pockets for a second quarter. Empty. I threw off my backpack, unzipped the back compartment, and I swept my forefinger along the bottom edge. Bingo. I forced the coin into the slot and pressed hard on each digit. Ring, 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 ring. Again, no answer. All at once, I swung on my backpack and jetted. I'd run these three blocks to our house dozens of times. I knew the route in my sleep. "Let them be home," I prayed with every step. "God, please, let them be there." The faster I sprinted, the slower I seemed to be moving. One block, one and a half, two blocks. A girl on her scooter called out, "Hey, Diane!" But I was way too out of breath to even answer her. My right shoelace came undone. I didn't.